You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. So I would say the original Aladdin is of the non-Pixar Disney animated films, I think was hands down the best of them. Certainly the most entertaining.
I think even with the Pixar ones, there's a chance it might be still.
It's really great. Although, I mean, in retrospect, there is, of course, the issue of the fact that of all the princesses, Jasmine has about the least amount of agency of any of them in the films, which we didn't think about when we originally watched the movie. We just went, wow, these songs are great, and this movie's hysterical, and the animation's awesome. But now, you've got Will Smith and the Fresh Princess. It's like, yeah, I was working towards that.
Oh, God. You're in the theater, Will's returning, it's like, got it.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, in the original movie, technically, through Raja, she maims the most other human beings in a Disney movie to that point.
That's true. We needed more maiming in this film. There's not enough good tiger maiming.
There's a hint that she might have, that the tiger might have maimed that Norwegian guy.
Yeah, but we saw him afterwards and he was fine.
You know, they're hardy people.
He should have come and had an arm missing, is all I'm saying. But yeah, we are reviewing the live-action version of Aladdin. I'm Chris.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Ben.
The Guy Ritchie, of all people. Like, Ben, you were saying, would you ever think we'd be in a day that you'd say Guy Ritchie directed a live-action version of Disney's Aladdin? I never would have pictured that.
A full-on musical at that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And a generally well-shot musical, too. Like,
I'll say that, like, he's able to handle himself well with a dancing and singing musical that I kind of want him to go back and do Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels as a musical now.
Oh my god, I'd so watch that.
I guarantee it's a play somewhere.
Yeah, it probably is. I think Snatch is actually a musical somewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so a lot of people, as always, going into these things go, do we need this? This feels excessive. Why are they making another Disney live-action adaptation of the cartoons? And I'll say that, I know that not everybody's on board with this, but with the exception of the excruciating Tim Burton's Dumbo, all the ones they did so far aren't half bad.
Yeah.
At their worst, they're just okay. And at their best, they're pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree with that, I think they're also, there's value in the sentiment, like, do we need this? And I think the ultimate answer is not really, but why not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, new generation, new, like, let's see if there's something to be done new with this. And sometimes, like, in cases like Jungle Book, Or something is kind of done new, like a new thing is done with the property. That's like awesome. Yeah, maybe we should keep trying these. And then some other ones are just like kind of a beat for beat remake. Like why? Like Beauty and the Beast just kind of suffer from that. Like it's not nearly as good as the original. It's like why is this here? So it kind of goes a full spectrum of sure, keep making them. I guess.
I was gonna say, I think the biggest issue with that sentiment is it seems like with every single one of these, everybody sees the trailer and goes, God, this looks terrible. Look how they're ruining this or that. Like, this one, they're like, look how terrible Will Smith looks like as the genie. I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't look like the cartoon, but he doesn't look like Sonic the Hedgehog.
To be fair, when that first still image of him came out, it looked like a disaster.
I recoiled more because Will Smith hasn't done a movie I liked in a really long time.
It's been a while.
And I was like, man, Robin Williams as the genie is like one of my favorite Disney characters of all time. And it was just immediate gut reaction of not how he looked. Just, I don't want Will Smith playing a fucking genie.
Oh, but for me, like, I thought he looked pretty fucking goofy. And once that trailer came out and he saw the move in action, I was like, okay, this doesn't look, that's still a picture. I think it was on EW who have like, they're notorious for releasing like the least flattering production photos.
Yeah.
But somehow it looked bad.
I try not to trust character. You know, quality of characters, especially not special effects ones from stills. Because it's just like, it's a movie. It's meant to be in motion. It's rare for a still to really sell that.
Yeah. But I feel like when you finally watch it, it's not really going to bug you at all.
Yeah. No, it worked. Like, if there's one thing, like, hands down, that completely worked for me in this movie, it's Will Smith.
Yeah.
All things Will Smith.
I thought we were done ever saying those words, but here we are.
Yeah, I think he
nails it in this movie.
Parts of it are clunky. This movie is not perfect by any means. No. It's like, it's a hard task, but like one thing that is like sort of perfect throughout is Will Smith. From the moment he arrives for the rest of the movie, he is like clearly like the movie star Will Smith.
He's having the most fun with it he can, which is kind of what this character is supposed to be. Just enjoy yourself and be as larger than life as you can, which honestly, Will Smith has always excelled at. He just kind of tried to tone that down to be a serious actor for a while, which respectable, but he hasn't hit it that well in a while.
Well, he just has a bad agent, I think. It's like he kept picking bad scripts. It wasn't that he was bad in the movies. They were just not great movies.
Yeah. And he picked After Earth just to get his son some work.
Yeah, right. But you know, Cliff Notes plot, for those who have either mysteriously never seen the original Aladdin or just it's been too long they don't remember, Aladdin himself, played by Mena Massoud, who you may have seen. Actually, he was just in Jack Ryan playing a character on that. He plays Aladdin, the titular Aladdin, who is a street urchin, but with a heart of gold. So he steals, but he ends up giving most of it back to poor people.
He sings a whole song about it.
He does. He will tell you about it in song. And but he has a meet cute with someone who he catches in the market, taking food from a stall and giving it to poor people, but clearly doesn't realize that you can't just do that without paying for it, of course, is the Princess Jasmine, who's slumming it and trying to pretend like she's just a commoner on the street. He doesn't fall for it, but he doesn't quite put together she's actually the princess. He's clear that she's like from the castle. And he's taken with her. She's kind of taken with him too, but he ends up getting captured by the evil Grand Vizier. Vizier. Never can say that correctly. The
Vizier.
First time. It's like infrared. I always want to say infrared for a second.
I thought you're going for like a Visine reference there.
But Jafar, and he's got his eyes on the throne himself. He wants to be the leader of this kingdom, the Sultan. But unfortunately, there's already sitting in that someone in that throne, Jasmine's father. So he plans, and he's got like a snake staff that can hypnotize people. And his whole plan comes down to this cave with a tiger mouth that's got filled with treasure, but has the weirdest like thing of all like rule. You're like, oh no, you can only get the one thing from it. Yeah. You can't touch anything else. Like it's not even you can take one thing.
Like, don't even.
It's like you can only take this one thing.
Except for the carpet doesn't count.
Yeah, the carpet. There's a flying carpet there, but no, that's fine. You can take that. Transportation doesn't count.
Yeah,
that was part of the cave.
Yeah, that's a weird.
That's the Cave of Wonders metro.
I guess
system.
You can only carry. You can only take sentient things with you.
Yeah. But he said that you guys are there with his pet monkey, who also kind of steals the show a lot of the time in this, Abu, and Aladdin is sent in in there to get the treasure, which is, you know, and this is like literally into the second act of the film when this finally happens.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time before they get there,
to get the lamp that he doesn't even know what it's for. He's like, get this lamp and bring it to me. And of course, Jafar betrays him, but Aladdin manages to grab the lamp and he's trapped in the Cave of Wonder, but rubs the lamp and the genie comes out and it's a blue Will Smith who, you know, the genie rules. You get three wishes and ixnay on wishing for more wishes. And he just, in his heart, he's like, well, I can't figure out what else to do that I would be able to be with this princess, because I know the rule of the kingdom is she has to be with a prince. So I guess make me a prince.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like every big decision like that, that's built on lies, it doesn't all work perfectly. Although it certainly pisses off Jafar for long enough.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You seem like a happy person to begin with, though.
You've seen this movie, you kind of know the original movie, you already have an idea of where it goes. And surprisingly, in the third act, I mean, there's little changes here before that, but like maybe the end of the second half, beginning of the third act, this movie takes a very different turn.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to remember how. I mean, not to get. It's hard thing. It was like spoilers, I guess, but like, if you're listening to this, I don't know how you've not seen the original Aladdin. No, like,
you're a mouser if you haven't.
How big are the changes in the third act? They're like slight character beat changes, but
I thought it was
pretty
good.
The broad sweeps are the same, right? I don't remember really.
Outside of Jasmine getting more agency, and trying to convince the head of the guard to support them, everything else is kind of the same without over cartooning it. Basically, changes. So in the original one, Jafar becomes a sorcerer. Which, some of that does happen because he does crave power. He also kind of makes everything kind of more cartoony. He's lusting after the princess the whole movie.
It's just a little bigger.
In the original.
Right? Yeah.
So that's lesser. He's more after power here than after Princess Jasmine. Then there's also, let's see, he turns, Raja into a kitten. He puts basically puts the Sultan into like a baby chair.
Oh yeah,
so basically it's more cartoonified than the original. But I would say everything in this third act is very beat for beat.
I guess you're right on the whole. I think it's just the
there's some character stuff.
In the end, the character stuff it has a lot of impact, I think, and a lot of that has to do with the film. And you realize early on when they're like, "Wait, this song wasn't the original movie about that." A lot more screen time is given to Jasmine, who is here singing about how frustrated she is that she just doesn't have any power or real voice.
Yeah.
She's just expected to do what she told, and you can kind of see where this is going. She's like, I don't understand why I can't just become Sultan after you, Dad. And it's like, well, it's because that hasn't never been done before.
I mean, yeah, they do a smart thing of, like, in the original cartoon, she's upset because she can't marry who she wants to marry. She has to marry who they say. And that's, like, the limits of it.
Right.
And this one, she's not really concerned about getting married at all. She's just upset that, why can't I be the heir to this? I know how to rule.
She's the secret villain.
Which is, but that's a much better motivation.
She's like the chick in the first season at 24 the whole time you thought was good, and it turned out she was the main villain the whole time.
I just watched that some reason.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
So you're the one person who knows exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, everyone else. But no, it's a good choice, because it makes her, like, her motivation is not just to be like, oh, I want to marry for power. I want to marry for love. And that's all I can do is to get married. And in this, she's like, who gives a fuck about getting married? Like, I should rule. Like, I'm good at this.
Yeah, that's great and all. If I, like, with this guy, he's pretty cool, but I'm not really even thinking about getting married.
I met this dude. He's cute. Like, I wish I could date him. I can't really do it. But she's like,
that's the least of my problems.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest issue for Jasmine's character in this movie is just that her new songs, great that she got new songs, but they all stick out kind of like a sore thumb because they lack some of the cleverness of the lines of the original movie and their original songs, which I think every single one from the original movie is in here. I could be wrong. Maybe there's one missing. But then also, they feel out of beat with the original ones. They're a lot more present day style, whereas the other one, where the rest of them are kind of like classic show tunes almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because the new songs are by the original film's composers,
but they
feel like songs written for a modern day Disney Channel production than they do a part of the feeling of the rest of the songs in this film.
Yeah, and some of that, like, I can't speak to this because I have no idea because I'm in it just like y'all are. I know those original songs. Like, they're ingrained in the culture.
Oh, new world.
These new songs aren't.
It's like getting excited, Billy.
You know, these, like, new songs aren't that. So they're just like, of course, they're just like, what the fuck is this thing?
Right.
But, like, who knows if a little kid sees this for the first time and then in 15 years, they might blend perfectly. But for us, it's like, what is this?
I'll be honest. I will definitely watch this again, and it's quite possible those songs will grow on me.
Yeah,
but there's no question the tone of the songs doesn't have the feeling like they were even written for this movie.
Jasmine's second song feels like it is almost shoehorned in, which is too bad because I don't think it's a bad song necessarily.
And the sentiments are perfectly placed in the film to lead up to the differences in character that we're seeing happen at the end here. But yeah, they're just odd moments. And maybe, once again, that's because we're just so hyper aware of the fact that these were not there.
It's hard to separate. Is it actually odd and weird? Or is it just because it's not belonging in the story we know? It's really hard to, like, separate it from.
I always try to step into ones like this where it's a remake of a movie I loved or, you know, an interpretation of that. And, you know, try to separate from that original as much as I can. Or at least my memories of that original, saying, you know, it's going to be its own thing, hopefully. And, like, yeah, I knew there was going to be new songs. I didn't, like, research it, but I just expected that after the last ones they've made. And honestly, even going in, like, I still think the second one definitely doesn't seem to fit, just because of the way they placed it and the way they do the action while she's singing almost felt like, oh, we don't know how to have this interact with the story, so we have to take it out of the story. And I think that's the issue with the second one.
I agree with that. It was a weird scene, the way they played that song out, which brings me to, like, one of my issues with the movie is I actually think they have trouble integrating all the songs and set pieces. Like, I think there's like two movies going on here. And one is, like, the spectacle and the big musical stuff, and the other is, like, the beat-by-beat, like, kind of story stuff. Most of the songs work, I think, throughout the movie. Like, most of the big set pieces
are
good. Partially
because most of those songs worked in the original film.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, you know, like, do a good job with it, you know, do it justice, and it'll work. But there's, like, some slogs in between them and some weird clunky plotting and stuff. Like, and it's, like, when a song happens, it's a rough transition a lot of times. Like, it's, like,
It doesn't kick in as organically as you'd hope.
Exactly. Like, in musicals, like, it's the emotion gets too big, so people start singing. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And this, it's like, scene's over, song time. And it's like, ugh, what? Like, and musicals usually kind of get in that rhythm, and you kind of get in rhythms like, all right, song's coming up soon, and it's transitions. And this, then I never really felt the rhythm to it. Like, I know the story, and I know what things are coming, but it didn't feel smooth.
Now, all that being said, I think overall, when they're doing the songs, they do a pretty good job. The choreography, even, like, you said you didn't like that first 20 minutes, but I was really enjoying it.
Oh, yeah,
especially the whole, like, the sequence with where basically Aladdin is telling his story as he's stealing stuff and running from guards and things. Man. I was like, well, that's a great sequence.
I got to say, for the first 30 minutes of this movie, the first act until we get to Will Smith, I thought this was going to be the disaster that EW picture told me it was. Like, I was truly, like, I mean, I don't know what it was. I thought it was really bad. Like, really bad. I'm interested to rewatch it knowing what comes, because I think the movie finds its footing. A lot of that is due to Will Smith, and, like, we've talked about his, just, like, immeasurable charm as a movie star, and it's, like, how much he can save a movie.
Or at least how much we remember that charm. It's been a while.
For sure, yeah. Like, he's never been in full charm mode like this since, I don't fucking know
how long. Like, over 10 years.
Yeah, maybe like Hitch, which is not a great movie, but Hitch
may be the last one.
But that's his full charming self, you know?
I will say, I actually really liked the first 30 minutes. I will say there was some of that clunkiness Chris mentioned to get to some of the songs. Like, getting to that first song from Aladdin, which I always forget the name of, the one where he's explaining while he's being chased by the guards who he is.
Right.
Some of the build-up to that was a little bit clunkier than I'd like it to be. But when you get it into that, yeah, they get the whole chase and the running away so perfectly right, where they interpret, you know, everyone he runs into singing along to the song.
I was impressed that Guy Ritchie was able to control himself to not make Aladdin into a full-on, like, Spider-Man parkour badass.
Yeah,
because I kept being afraid they're going to go, like, where he's, like, in District B-13 or some shit. Yeah. And I was like, no.
I was surprised. That, if one thing I could 100% say that surprised me is the restraint of Guy Ritchie in this movie, which is crazy to say the restraint of a director who's making a musical Aladdin, like, because, like, you're supposed to go big. But
he's known for having big faults with the lack of self-restraint as a director, for sure. So I understand what you mean.
I mean, who knows, in a normal movie, like, or in the normal movie, but in a different movie, it could have been all over the fucking place, or if it wasn't a musical or something, like some different type of adaptation, but it kind of matches perfectly for how ridiculous this needs to be at times.
Yeah. There's a bit of a slow-mo in here that I still felt was unnecessary. Some things, like towards the third act, there's a couple times where it's there and it was a random scene that didn't need it. I do want to say, as much as I think that first song, and most of the songs I think do really well, I mentioned this to you guys when we got out of it, I don't think that the Prince Ali song, I don't like the way that one was shot compared to the other ones.
You mean it's the one where, so he's become the prince magically, and him and his giant magical entourage,
yeah, the Prince
and
Ali, elephants
come into the city.
Ali, I was surprised,
like you said, I enjoyed the hell out of
it. I don't think
sequence.
It was bad, and I think the song is still great. Will Smith kills it on all of his songs, because he makes it his own, and it's very different, but my issue with that one is while when he's being chased, and also when they do Never Had a Friend Like Me, it's moving around a lot. I feel the camera's very static for a lot of that, or it's very much on a dolly and clearly just moving in and out, which, yes, it's a lot of great blocking and set, you know, movement of the actors in that scene and the extras there, but, you know, I remember the original being much more dynamic and, you know, Genie jumping around and talking to people, like, in character. Whereas here, it's just part of the lyrics for the most part. Yeah, I think it only takes on one other character during that scene in this
version. That didn't bug me. That's a differential from the way they played.
And I think
with Robin Williams in the original to Will Smith. Will Smith's not really an impressions guy.
Yeah.
You know, Robin Williams is. And it was like, okay, I kind of like that they went, don't be Robin Williams. Don't try to be Robin Williams. Be Will Smith.
And
that's a very different genie.
For sure. And in like storytelling-wise, like for the film work, like this moment, it is kind of static from one point of view, but I think it's meant to like be the point of view of Jasmine and the Sultan watching this performance, whereas the stuff in the caves kind of around, like, it makes more sense because, like, this is approaching the city and we're appeasing these people up in this. We're trying to impress these people.
I didn't think of that. That actually makes more
sense. Like, so from this song, what they're trying to impress, like, we kind of get this. It's a lot of overhead, not literally from their POV, but, like, it puts you in the, like, mindset of we're looking at something from a person.
I thought the Best Friend song was, like, by far, which is the song he sings in the Cave of Wonder explaining how being a genie works. much like in the original cartoon, is the high point of this whole
film. Oh, it's a showstopper.
It's a total showstopper of a sequence where they go, this is as close as this movie gets to being an animated film, where it's just so batshit insane for 5 minutes that you're like, wow, I'm just looking around trying to catch everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And
a bit of the
it's different. It's different. They're not trying to just do what that cartoon did. They're doing different things, and it still makes you go, wow, this is really fun, and I'm having a great time watching it. They never make Will Smith go all... I like that they didn't feel the need to do what Robin Williams was doing, was making lots of current references. Will Smith was not aware of our world outside of apparently Disneyland. For some reason, there was a lot of Disneyland plugs in this movie.
It's Disney's favorite thing to be like, hey, remember we're a kingdom too?
Yeah, but he's not like super not. I think, well, just with the music, the styling of the songs, and there's like a little bit of like hip hop and like beatboxing. So
right, but not specific references. Well, like in the original, he's like referencing people who exist today. They're not doing any of that. I was like, there's just enough that I'm like, why didn't you guys? You should have at least had him throw in a line from David Bowie's Aladdin Sane, just for, like, you know, one of those things. Like, you could work that into the lyrics, and most people would never even catch it. But those that did would be like,
the Chris Cox's nice. Of the world would be like, oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, Bowie just died not that long ago. I'm like, come on, man. That'd be because, you know, he was going, what are you, crazy? Like, just say it.
I do want to say for the beatboxing thing, that just made me think of talking to both my family and some other people after seeing Mary Poppins, where. You know, they had, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who does a bit of a spoken word verse. So people were like, you know, I didn't really dig them. Like, why? It's, does it well, and it's exactly what people came here to see him.
Mary Poppins Returns was great.
I thought it was fantastic.
I
did the same thing here.
Hated it.
Really?
Oh, you're a monster. No, the movie I didn't hate. I thought the movie was, like, fine. Some numbers are great, some numbers weren't. But I hated the Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, rapping scene. Because it was just, like... I don't know. I just hated it. I was just like, okay, we get it. Hamilton. Like, fuck this. Like, sing me a song.
Have you seen Hamilton?
No.
Well, that's the problem.
Again, right I'm there. Pretty sure...
Yeah, but I don't... Get your Hamilton out of my Mary Poppins.
Yeah, but you say that, but you haven't seen Hamilton.
I listened to it. I don't think it's my bag.
All the lyrics are right on point with that, and that's kind of my point, is I feel like people might try to pull that about Will Smith kind of beatboxing in a bit of a kind of semi-rap segment. Like, it's less than a verse here.
Yeah, but see, it didn't bother me at all in this movie, that integration here, because, like, Will Smith started as an late 80s rapper, like, rapping similar to this, like, type of style. It's, like, his era. But that's also become, like, pop music now. Like, mainstream music is rap music. So, like, to have, like, a musical with elements of that, and it isn't, like, corny, really. You know, like, especially with the genie doing it, where it's all, like, magical.
They don't get carried away. He doesn't have a whole thing where he goes, let me tell you a little story about a guy named Aladdin.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that shit. It's not, like, hokey. It seems very organic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you had never heard of beatboxing, you wouldn't notice that anything was off.
It's in there in the mix. Yeah, it's fun.
I really like the points in which this clearly Guy Ritchie went to watching Bollywood films. Mm-hmm. He said, we need to bring in, like, to make this huge crowd scene work with all these colors and great costumes, we need to watch a bunch of Bollywood films. And that was very clear, and he knew exactly how to use it and sell it. I mean, honestly, the movie's at its best when it's singing and dancing, and it does that pretty darn good.
For sure.
And Will Smith is, like I said, no one's more surprised than me. Like, he's the star of this movie, and he sells it. You do not resent him being the genie one bit.
No,
I'm also happy they had more of the courting scenes between Aladdin when he's trying to, you know, talk to the Sultan and to Jasmine, and then also more of Will Smith with him as, like, being his...
Yeah, his side man.
The best non-musical scenes of the movie, right? Yeah. Like, those scenes were just, like... Where Smith is kind of riffing and be like, oh, man. Yes. Like, just like,
I have not
so
been this
funny.
I've not been this embarrassed in 10,000 years. Like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Hey, like, all those, like, riffs, those are, like, the best parts of the movies that aren't big spectacles.
Right.
Are just when him and, who's the guy playing Aladdin again?
Mena Massad.
Yeah.
I didn't mention Naomi Scott, who plays Princess Jasmine. She was the Pink Ranger in the Power Rangers.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, her and, they're both good, but Will Smith's chemistry with everyone he's on scene, like, no matter who he's in the scene with, he has incredible chemistry with them, and that's what, like, holds this movie together, I think.
Even the CGI monkey.
Yeah, even the CGI monkey.
Wow, the guy who plays Jafar is Dutch. I mean, he's clearly, like, I mean, his name is Marwan Kenzari. I was like, you're like, all right, so his heritage is clearly Middle Eastern, but wow. He's Dutch.
Yeah, and that's another thing. This movie is 100% less racist than the original Aladdin, which is only a little racist, but, like...
I was just saying, it's actually, like, characters of Middle Eastern origin playing the bulk of the roles in it, exactly, as opposed to the original.
It's all Middle Eastern, African. It's like those characters. You don't see any, like, there's only one white dude, and he's a courting prince who's there. It's like,
yeah, who's not supposed to be. Although Alan Tudyk plays Iago the parrot. Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, and Frank Welker is still playing Abu.
Yeah. Frank Welker is still doing the voice of Abu and the voice of the Cave of Wonders.
I will.
And Raja.
He's like Alan Tudyk's muse. Like, I can play any animal and any noise.
Man, Tudyk has turned into, like, the voice guy lately, man. Holy crap.
I love it.
I love this show.
Because he's so good, and, like, I know there's a lot of good money in voice work.
He soars like a leaf on the wind, man.
he's great, man.
I don't want to make anybody sad, sorry. And so it's like, oh, man, famous I was having fun. You brought me down. I'm still mad. Still mad. I mean, in a good way, but still. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Ben, get us started.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you know, when you go into a movie like this, especially for reviewing, I try really hard to distance myself from the original as much as I can. It's really hard, though, because the original is, like, definitely my childhood favorite. It is still possibly my favorite Disney movie of all time, and it's just because everything about the original works. I'm glad they kept so much of that. I don't think anything they added to it was, you know, anything that doesn't work. I think, you know, it's always going to be a little bit lesser than an almost perfect movie like the original, but it does. I mean, it does match up. They kept some of my favorite lines that are little one-offs. Like, there's the bit that, you know, where Aladdin tries to save, like, a kid from being run over, and the guy's like, only your fleas will mourn. You're like, all right, that's a pretty damn good insult. I'm glad you kept that one in there. Like, that,
I use that all the time.
That's a harsh bird, and I'm like, that is pretty good. Like, that, the songs, they all nail it, as we said earlier. Just any of the original songs, they make them a bit their own, but they still all work. I can't recommend this enough for, like, if you have kids, because I know a lot of my friends now have kids, this will be the one to take your kids to, and you'll be like, this is bringing my childhood to them and all that.
That's so adorable. Some of my friends have grandkids.
Aw, Chris.
Sorry.
I try not to date you in these ones, you know, like, make you seem that old, but, I mean, when you bring it, it's fine. But it still has a lot of flaws. As I said, the new songs don't always fit. There's some oddness moving into some of the songs occasionally. And there's still some of Guy Ritchie's weird obsession with putting in slow motion when it's not needed. But overall, I had a good time with it, and I can't say I won't watch this version again, though I do think I'm probably going to watch the original again, at least by this weekend. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 giant rubies that a monkey loves.
Alan?
I think this movie, like a lot of these adaptations, suffers from just that, like, figuring out how to adapt, like, a cartoon that's usually at around, like, an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that use very broad, like, emotional sweeps into a full feature.
And suffers them as well. People asking themselves, why would I watch this?
Why would I do this? Like, you know, and then just in the storytelling, like, in this movie, Aladdin does the classic thing where he's the prince, and he should tell the princess, and he doesn't do it, and he decides he's not going to do it, only to immediately change his mind and need to tell the truth. And those type of, like, quick changes and, like, big revelations work really well in cartoons. You know, musical cartoons. And a full feature where you're running it for 2 hours and then, like, start in 5 minutes, it's just like, there needs to be a better way to adapt this into, like, this real life, which is hard. You know, I get it. So, like, and I think a lot of these Disney movies have suffered from that. The best ones for me have been Jungle Book, which kind of went its complete own pace. And then Cinderella, which stayed, like, super true, but kind of made it, like, grand theater, like, very British. It's like, you know, and, like, but all the other ones kind of suffer from, like, how do we make this different but still the same?
Yeah.
How do we get the same emotion but not make it seem like it's too childish? Like, and they're trying to work it out. Some work better than others. Like I said, I thought the first 30 minutes of this movie was truly a disaster. I was like, and I want to rewatch it because I don't know. I just
don't see that at all.
I thought it was solid.
Yeah, I should confess. It takes me a while to, like, get into the groove of musicals, and I think this one, being especially clunky, like, ultimately works. But I think because of that, the first 30 minutes were especially hard for me because nothing was really transitioning smoothly. I thought it was just like, I was like, oh, shit. I do not want to be here for another hour and a half. But Will Smith showed up. The songs got grander and bigger, and the comedy started working. And the stars, who I didn't think were very good earlier, started being really good. So maybe, like, the movie won me over. Maybe I need to rewatch it, and that first part's fine. I don't know. But whatever. I think Will Smith is the, you know, welcome back to superstardom. I loved him in this movie. I think he really, I mean, really carries it.
Let's see
it.
If he can keep going.
But. Yeah, we got Gemini Man coming up soon.
That does not promise big things.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
That's definitely not a comedy actioner. That's more straight actioner.
It was okay. Ang Lee, though. Ang Lee, who's not. You can't get mad at
him. He couldn't even screw up the Hulk.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm mixed on it, but ultimately, like, I'm surprised how much I liked it. You know, especially after that first half or the first couple bits, and yeah, it was really good, but I didn't love it. I'm going to go with 6.5 successful pickpockets.
Man, you were fighting yourself on that one.
Yeah. I almost wanted to go 7, but anyway, whatever. Who gets arbitrary?
See, I'm the other way. I love musicals. Like, I'm such a sucker. I get drawn in real easy to a musical. Like, oh, man, you fucking, like, even if everything else isn't working, if the song and dance is working, everybody's got to take my reviews with a little bit of grain of salt. Like, for instance, I gave The Greatest Showman, I think, like, an 8.5 out of 10. Because I'm sorry, the fucking song and dance shit in that movie, which is almost nonstop, kicks all kinds of fucking ass. I don't give a shit that it wasn't historically true. Yeah. Who gives a fuck? It's a giant musical. No one was looking for truth.
I agree with you. Yeah. And the thing is, I also want to put out there, I do love musicals, but I just... When the moment in a movie when somebody starts singing, I'm just like, here we go.
It's not going to work.
And I get very like anxious about it. And when it works, I fucking love it.
When it doesn't, I walk out of the movie actually mad.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw Rent, I was so fucking mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and everyone I talked to who saw it at that screening were like, man, I want to kill everyone who made that movie. It was so bad, and I know the original musical is not, and why was that movie so bad?
When you make a choice to make a musical, you are literally saying, we're going to make songs that are good.
And so, and I'm nervous about a film that like is a adaptation of a musical that I already love and love the songs from that's like has the balls to add new songs to it and very different people doing the singing, different people like arrangements. I'm like, okay. You better do this good. And right from the bat, for me, this was working. I was like, that first 30 minutes you had a problem with, I was like, no, I'm in. I hope they choose to do something a little different, because so far, this is exactly the animated movie, in live action. But at that point, it's not stuff that wouldn't be relatively easy to do live action anyway. We haven't introduced the genie yet. So we all know, watching it, what's going to work or what's not after that. If that worked for you, fine. But if they don't get the genie right, this movie is ruined.
Yeah.
And it's maybe 30 seconds into Will Smith before you're like, okay, this is going to work. Like, I actually see this, and I see what you're doing here, and it's going to work. And it continues to work. And they know that's where they've got to, like, put everything they've got into it. And they do. Like, that first 20 minutes or so of Will Smith as the genie is just nonstop funny and fast moving and really cool, and also convinces you that, once again, he is not playing Robin Williams. He's selling you young Will Smith, like the comedian Will Smith, not the guy, not the serious actor Will Smith. Mm. We love that Will Smith.
Yeah.
I miss that Will Smith.
For the record,
Smith.
I want to say, the more I thought about it, when he's trying on different costumes for Prince Ali, I would have loved for a Fresh Prince costume to be one of them.
That would have been amazing, first off. Like, the movie could have used a few more meta moments like that.
That would have been so perfect.
It's funny because I actually was like, I was relieved that there wasn't that many. I was relieved there weren't that many,
but there were a few that would have been really, where you do it and subtlety is key.
Yeah.
Where if you did that and it was like, just for a flash of a second, and where if you'd never been a big fan of the show, you never would have even caught it.
That would be up there with like that episode of Castle where Nathan Fillion's on going for Halloween. He dresses as Mal, and she's like,
"I'm a space cowboy." Yeah.
She's like, "Didn't you wear that in like 2003?" It's like, "Yes, perfect joke." There you go.
No, we didn't mention as well. I want to say really caught Nassim Pedrad, who is a longtime Saturday Night Live person who's had 5 seasons in there. She's wonderful in there. Done a lot of stuff since then. And she was cast a new role as a handmaid and best friend to Jasmine, and actually really liked the way they used her character.
Really good and really funny.
A lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to hate this character. She's just going to be so annoying just from that Prince Ali clip. And it's like, no, actually, she's not overplayed at anything. I think she gets just enough use.
It's a bit of an odd decision to make her a love interest for the genie.
Yeah.
I will say, I was like, what are you doing, movie?
Yeah, that's a little weird. There's weird shit like this in a movie. Like, it's... We do. I would say we're all like pretty positive about it, but this movie is weird in some spots.
That's the thing. It's like, this movie will be like this. It'll have a sequence and it works so well, and you're like, "Damn, movie, you're impressing me. I'm with you 100%." And then I'll do some, maybe it's just like an awkward editing moment sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes, as you said, it's like this totally unorganic way to go into a song. Sometimes it's just like a weird little thing like that. Like, wait, what? The genie has a love interest?
Yeah. Luckily, I wanted to be like, sure, I guess maybe keep going.
What you were saying about the first 20 minutes, I will say the one thing there that didn't work for me necessarily was the framing device at the beginning. I was like, this is mixed at best. Let's see where you go from.
Hey, my final thoughts over here, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, you get to
the framing device at the beginning was a little awkward. Is something I wanted to bring up.
What a great original thought that I've never heard before, Chris.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. I wrote that.
Ben Bending.
Oh, Ben Bending, yes. I think the guy who played Jafar was playing it so lovingly over the top. I really enjoyed his ridiculous mustache twirling performance. It was actually a lot of fun to watch. So full kudos to that guy. And even like the way they treated the parrot, Iago, was like, okay, it's funny. He's not as clearly his own character as he is in the animated thing, but he's somewhere between a regular parrot and a parrot who's got his own mind.
Yeah.
I love the fact they finally gave Jasmine some real agency. That's fucking great, man. I hope that people are going to come to that and go, I mean, there's stuff that people are going to complain about here on level of like whether it's feminism or racism or whatever. And I apologize that I didn't personally see it. If it was there and blatant, I miss these things sometimes and I have to have them pointed out to me before I can make my own decision of whether or not I agree with you. In this particular case, I didn't find anything offensive here. Yeah. I'm sure someone will.
In this day and age, you're going to have to give the great pains to try your hardest to not be racist with a movie like this.
Before they even fucking showed you a trailer, people were accusing this film of being racist. Well,
because the original, like, just like, you know, it's tricky. This is like a tricky thing, but I think they did a good job. Again, I'm the same way. Like, there might be a point of view that I just don't see because I don't have that point of view. So, like, and if it comes up and I read it, I'm just like, oh my God, that's a real thing.
It's like, I want to hear it, but I'm also not going to automatically agree with you because I hear shit, crazy shit all the time.
I would imagine if there is something like that, it's definitely not malicious in this movie. Yeah. I feel like they've tried very hard.
They did seem to try very hard. Yeah. I don't know. All I can say is at the end, I walked out of this with overall a smile on my face. There are awkward as shit moments in here that don't work. But there's many more moments that really do work, and I kind of fell in love with Will Smith all over again, which has been, like you said, so long since I haven't dreaded seeing Will Smith in a movie that I was like, oh man, that felt good. To actually enjoy watching Will Smith again, that felt good.
Yeah.
We need more Will Smith that I like. God, I hope he got a new agent. Really? Anyway, I am going to give this a 7.5 out of 10. Times I had to point out to Ben that his original thoughts were actually mine.
Glad to help.
I appreciate that, man. Sometimes I have to remind you that that was me.
That was my idea too, Chris. Way to go.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh,
all of them are my ideas.
That was cool. You did that thing I told you to do, to say that.
Yeah, it's set up perfectly for the...
That was great.
Yeah.
He's reading his notes now. Yeah. That's good.
This is all scripted, by the way. Chris writes all these reviews for us. So we just have to read beat by beat.
It's all so meta.
Pet monkey now. Gotcha, Chris.